Well, good morning. This is Per Fogring, and the show is Fight the Empire. Back in the 90s, Billy Graham came to Portland to stage one of his crusades at the at Civic Stadium. And he gave a press conference at the Multnomah Athletic Club right next door. Well, I had a KBOO press pass, so I was able to go to the press conference, and I got to ask him a question. At that time, this was back in the 90s, public prayer was a big, huge political issue, prayer in schools and other public gatherings and everything. So I asked Reverend Billy, why do so many Christians want public prayer when Jesus himself preached against it? Jesus said, beware of the hypocrites who pray in the streets. Say, if you want to pray to your Lord, go to your apartment and close the doors and pray in private. So I asked him, why do Christians want public prayer now when their own leader preached against it? Billy Graham kind of put on a sheepish grin and said, well, right now I'm praying for an answer. Anyway, that was my meeting with Billy Graham, and interesting thing about it is that we are in a Kickstarter campaign right now, and it was KBOO Radio that gave me the opportunity to put that question to Billy Graham. I had a press pass and a little training in how to be a reporter and all that, and I was able to go to the press conference. So this is one thing that KBOO does. You too can be a reporter. You can learn all kinds of things about honest reporting. I can't guarantee that you'll get to meet up with somebody like Billy Graham. That's a matter of luck or divine providence, if you will. And but that is a reason to support this station and its Kickstarter campaign, because it gives everybody the opportunity to do what I was lucky enough to be able to do. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the what's come to be known as Russiagate. Really hate that term. Anytime there's a scandal, whatever, they stick the word gate after it, you know, because of Watergate. And it's kind of silly, but it's so pervasive that you really can't avoid it. So where are we with Russiagate right now? Well, for one thing to keep in mind is that these 13 indicted Russians are in Russia, and they're not going to be extradited because we don't have an extradition treaty with Russia. So because of that, there's not going to be a trial, which means there will not be any defense against these charges. Charges are there. They're an indictment. They are not a verdict. And I suppose possibly, if one of these 13 sets foot in the wrong country, they can be snatched up and extradited and stand trial, but I think that's pretty unlikely. And in my opinion, I don't think, considering the state of mind that's going on right now, I don't think they could get a fair trial anyway. So that's point number one, is that there's not going to be trial. These allegations will not be tested except maybe in the public arena. Another thing to keep in mind is that apparently the hacking charges, I don't know if they've been dropped, but they're not being talked about. Maybe we'll get some later on, but right now there are no hacking charges. Now, according to a man named William Binney, who was an NSA whistleblower. I guess he was with the NSA for 30 years or more. And according to William Binney, the hacking of the DNC, Democratic National Committee, could not have happened. And he says there was not enough time that to hack something, to hack into, you know, computers, stuff from a distance, it requires a certain amount of time. And according to the time signatures on the material, there wasn't that time. So according to William Binney, the information, the DNC data, was leaked by an insider. In other words, he just put it on a thumb drive and took it out of the building and gave it to, I suppose, WikiLeaks, which publicized it. So there was no hacking, according to William Binney. Another thing to keep in mind is that, as far as I know, all the DNC material was true. It had to do with Hillary Clinton's speeches to the Wall Street brokers. It had to do with the DNC kind of rigging the primaries against Bernie Sanders. And as far as I know, none of the leaked DNC material was false. It was all true, and it was stuff that American voters had a right to know about. And you could say the same with some of the social media business. So the Russiagate investigation is kind of focused on Russian uses of our social media. These bots that churn out all kinds of stupid tweets or whatever, and commentary and things like that, and information like they had. Apparently, they took both sides of different controversies, but you could say that in as much as any of the any of that material on the social media was some of it was just the people, you know, blowing off their opinions, but some might have been factual, even bizarre. And so, well, so what? People had a right to know about it. Some of this material certainly was bizarre, like there was some picture of Jesus arm wrestling with Satan. And then there was, of course, the famous cartoon of Bernie, the muscle man Bernie. And apparently there were rallies that were staged around the country, not very well-attended rallies, but some of them had people, they had a person portraying Hillary Clinton in a prison uniform inside a cage. Well, when you think about it, that's stuff that counter, you know, that protesters do all the time. I mean, so if the Russians do it, so what? They took a picture of somebody doing this. Well, you wonder how could such amateurish, relatively small PR campaign have such results, supposedly swinging an election. That's where a lot of people, including me, are rather skeptical that this operation out of St. Petersburg, this internet research agency, sort of churning out these bots, their budget compared to the budget for the political parties and the web pages and everything else, their budget was really rather limited, and the number of people was rather limited. Apparently, they sat in this building in St. Petersburg, Russia, and churned out, they had a quota how many bots or messages they had to put out there on the in the internet. And to say that they tipped the election, it's to me it implies that Americans are really too dumb for democracy. That if Americans fell for this kind of stuff, it's sort of really disrespecting the American voters, even the ones who voted for Trump. And so the message of the people who are concerned with Russiagate, the people who are promoting this idea, is that, well, what they're doing, it is they are, and quoting one of the congressional leaders, they're, quote, sowing discord. Well, sowing discord kind of implies that there was no existing discord, but they sort of, the Russians injected it. I would say it's more accurate to say that there's a lot of discord in this country, and the Russians kind of maybe to a small degree aggravated it a bit. Anyway, Congressman Gerald Nadler from New York, who's ordinarily pretty solid thinking person, said that the Russians, quote, are destroying our political process. Well, I think that's a pretty heavy charge, pretty outlandish charge if you think about it, because when you think about it, our political process is really kind of a rigged system, and it's rigged in about five different ways that I can think of. The main one, I suppose, is that money rules. You have all these billionaires and hedge funds and contributors and dark money and everything else that are just throwing millions and billions of dollars into political campaigns, and money rules. That is the big fault of our political system, our so-called democracy. Another one is gerrymandering, and this is finally getting battled out in court, where there's some really preposterous congressional districts, mainly engineered by the Republicans, in which the result is that because of gerrymandering, the Republicans have got a congressional representation far out of proportion to their actual number of voters that they have. Another example of rigging is voter suppression. And there's all sorts of ways that you can keep the vote of Democrats and progressives down. And that's been gone into a lot. That has been being fought out in the courts right now. A fourth way of the system is rigged is the Electoral College, which is what actually put Trump in the White House. Hillary Clinton got, I think, 3 million more votes than Trump did. But Trump is president, and Hillary is kind of out there on the edge of things. And it's the Electoral College that does that. And this, the Electoral College has done that three or four times in the past, most recently before this, I guess, in 2000. They put George Bush in the White House, and within a year or so, he went to war with Iraq, which is one of the biggest disasters this country has done. And finally, third parties, smaller parties, are discriminated against. It's very hard for a third party to get on the ballot because there are all these kind of little rules and regulations and little hurdles they have to cross. So we are sort of forced into a two-party system in which third parties and are systematically excluded. And so when you have a two-party system, it inevitably leads to this idea of the lesser of two evils. Since you only have two candidates who have a chance at winning, and maybe you don't like either one of them, you sort of hold your nose and you vote for the, quote, lesser of the two evils, which is, this is kind of, to me, is a very sad commentary on what our democracy is. Well, when it's a choice, when the choice of lesser of the two evils is, say, between Al Gore and George Bush, that's one thing. That's a pretty bad choice. But then when you throw somebody like Donald Trump into the equation, it's even worse. You know, this is kind of a lesser two evils is kind of a polite way of saying, don't vote for the boogeyman. Well, George Bush is certainly a boogeyman. Look what he wound up doing. But I would say that Donald Trump is probably the evilest boogeyman that this political chicanery has come up with. You know, he is so dreadful just as a human being that there are so many that it forces quite a lot of otherwise sensible people to look with fondness on Hillary Clinton, who herself is a warmonger. And they look to... to who will save us from this boogeyman of Donald Trump? Well, the CIA will save us, sure. You know, you remember what Chuck Schumer said after the election when Donald Trump made some remark about the deep state. And Chuck Schumer said, the CIA can get you, quote, six ways from Sunday. And we are seeing that happen right now. Stephen Cohen has been writing about this, and instead of Russiagate, he thinks we should call it Intelgate. And this originated the deep state, the CIA and the FBI are really messing with our elections, such as they are. And according to Stephen Cohen, this originated with William Brennan, who was a CIA head under Obama, under President Obama. And then he is saying, where did that English intelligence guy, Christopher Steele, get the information for his dossier on Donald Trump? And Stephen Cohen says, not from Russia insiders. He says there was a second dossier that was actually prepared by Clinton allies. And there was also research by a woman named Nellie Orr, who is a wife of a Department of Justice official, Bruce Orr. So check out Stephen Cohen. You find his writings on The Nation and also on Consortium News. And the thing to think about is that if the CIA can do this to Donald Trump, which maybe some people might feel a secret satisfaction, they can do it to one of our own. They could do it to Bernie Sanders. Maybe they already have. They can do it to anyone you would like to see in the White House. You might say this is how the deep state rules. And it's very interesting. I ran across one article. It was from the Manchester Guardian from back in 2011, or the UK Guardians from March 17, 2011. And it said that the U.S. military was developing what's called a sock puppet program. And it was kind of a way of playing games with the social media arena and creating fake personalities. In other words, the U.S. military was studying and they were perfecting a program that would do exactly what the Russian evildoers are doing right now. And that was a $2.76 million contract is voided to a L.A. corporation called Intrepid. Where is this all going? Well, Washington Post columnist Karen Tumulty called it an act of war. The voice of God, otherwise known as Morgan Freeman, said, quote, "We have been attacked. We are at war." And there's all this talk about, well, we should do it to them. But we already did it to them back in 1996 when we sent a lot of hackers and political analysts and all sorts of people to get Boris Yeltsin reelected president of Russia. And now the neocons are trying to, they are talking about going to war with Russia, giving it back to them. We've already have given it to them, and they are getting it back to us. And the Democrats, a lot of otherwise sensible Democrats, are getting on board. There's a lot of war talk against Russia. And this is how the war party rules. You know, we've had... This country has been at constant war ever since for the last 70 years, no matter who is in the White House, Republican or Democrat. Somehow, no matter what political party is in the White House, the war party always wins. We have a caller. Hello there. Michonne, you're on the air. Hello? I can't hear you here. Hello? Are you there? I think maybe we're not connected in this room here, but anyway, hello? I guess he fell off the line. So you've had the war party running things now for 70 years. And when you think about, Donald Trump is obviously... Looney Tunes. He's obviously nuts, a narcissist, and everything they say about him. One thing about Donald Trump is he is crazy in his own very obvious way, where other people are crazy also in their own more conventional ways. Where Sean is back on the line. Sean, are you there?
I'm okay. Here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I think I'm all here, yes.
That's all right. Good. Hey, listen, two quick comments, and that's regards to, you know, this whole mess, again, is nothing but distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to bring up two quick points.
Okay.
Seth Rich, who, of course, never gets talked about.
I will. I'm waiting to hear more, anyway. Go ahead.
Well, and I just want to say there's no reason to believe that he was taken care of by the deep state because he found out a lot of things. And even though it was the DNC, I firmly believe there's very good possibility that that was undermined on behalf of actually Donald Trump. The other thing I want to say is the deep state doesn't mind having somebody like a Donald Trump in there, even though they want you to believe that maybe they don't like him. So I want to quote FDR when he spoke of his dictator Somoza,
mm-hmm.
where he said, he may be a son of a bee,
right.
but our son of a bee.
Right. Okay, let me say
that's all that matters.
Okay, well, you know, when you think about it, if the Russians can blackmail Trump, so can the CIA. Anyway, let me sort of end with two points. As far as the sort of the conventional craziness, I will offer the example of Zygmunt Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski. And he was a... certainly a very brilliant guy and a Washington insider, and he was the one who had the great idea of getting the Russians to invade Afghanistan. And Jimmy Carter, who was also considered a good president, went along with this idea. Well, that happened back in 19—when was it? It was quite a while ago, and we have been at war with Afghanistan ever since. So Brzezinski's bright idea turned out to be a disaster. It really did. And here's another interesting thing. The other day, I got on my on the internet, I got a message, and it's one of these fishing expeditions or whatever. It says this is to notify you that some Russian fraud stars are using your ID and personal information for a loan scam. We have attached the details to you for confirmation so you can report and stop them. And then it goes on three simple. Well, what they're doing is they want me to click on some little thing that allow them to get into my computer. They want to allow me to allow them to hack them. And so, in other words, this whole kind of Russiagate scam is being taken up by some real fraudsters, whoever these people are who sent me this message. But beware. You can always beware of fraudsters on the internet. But here they are. So this is a unfortunate, this Russiagate thing just keeps on rolling merrily along. Where it stops, I don't really know. It's it looks to me like the people who are behind it are really kind of pushing for some kind of war or some kind of assertiveness against Russia. And I'll end with some good news. This is an article by Norman Solomon, who actually at one time was a volunteer right here at KABU. And according to him, the headline for his column is Russiagate Collapsing as a Political Strategy. He says the plan for Democrats to run against Russia may be falling apart. Apparently, when they take polls, there was some poll that was recently taken that showed that this whole narrative did not have much traction with thinking Americans. And so, according to Norman Solomon, the Russiagate strategy is kind of falling apart, and I would say that's pretty good news. This whole thing has been blown out of proportion, and hopefully that the Democrats will get over it and they will find ways to oppose Donald Trump in a more rational way, and especially against Donald Trump's bellicosity. An interesting thing is the Democrats, or some of them, seem to want to go to war against Russia, but Donald Trump does not. He would rather go to war with Iran or North Korea. Well, when you have warmongers both in the White House and in the opposition, this is not good news for America. So beware. I hope this Russiagate thing will fall of its own accord, and I am hoping that saner voices will prevail and that there will be peace in our time. So thank you for listening. Stay tuned for KBOO's very own Air Cascadia, and check out the Kickstarter campaign. You too can be a journalist. You too can be a reporter, and you too can fight the empire. Thank you very much.